Open our Bibles this evening in John's Gospel, chapter 4. Fourth chapter of the book of John's Gospel, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's Word this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 4. Let's hear the Word of the Lord. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come thither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. The hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he would tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, this is thy word this evening. Give us power in reading it and meditating upon it. Just enlighten the minds and hearts and illuminate the eyes and understandings of those that have come. We think of those that have seen no beauty in Christ. and they're still without him and still bound for hell. O Spirit of God, reveal Jesus. Reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to such tonight, that they might go home never to be the same again with Christ in their heart. Give them deciding grace. Help them to come. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's absolutely amazing just what a day can bring forth. There's not one of us know what will happen when we rise in the morning or until we go to bed at night. We think of the man who at the night time went to the Lord Jesus Christ. Little did that man know that Jesus would change his life completely. Nicodemus was never the same from that meeting with Jesus. When Jesus said unto him, "Marvel not that I said unto ye, must be born again." And the Lord changed Nicodemus, never to be the same again. My, what do you think of that day whenever that blind man got up, that lad got up in the morning, and he still had his blindness, he had blindness from birth. Little did that lad know that that day he would see, just as he never saw before, that the Lord would open his eyes, his light would change. Yes, he gave me something worth living for. And then we come to this fourth chapter of John's Gospel. And here is a woman, she starts the day in the depths of her depravity, in the depths of her sin. And before the sun sets, this woman's changed, transformed by the power of the Gospel of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to think of the story tonight that the Holy Ghost has recorded and just how it happened. Let's come to chapter 4 of the book of John's Gospel, please. Now it says in verse 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." It's absolutely amazing that here at the very early stage in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Pharisees sought to stir up trouble for the Lord Jesus. Of course, in reality, that should be easy for us to understand, because the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of Christ exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees had a form of godliness, they had a form of religion, they had a ritual. They kept the outside clean, and yet the inside was like the depths of depravity, because their heart was far from God. You will notice the craft of these disciples, or these Pharisees, in this early part of the ministry of Christ. Notice it says in verse 1, "The Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." The craft of the Pharisees to try and oppose the ministry of Christ was this: Jesus versus John. In other words, they sought to stir up jealousy. John the Baptist, you will remember, was the son of a priest. He ministered in the temple, and therefore that would entitle him, in the eyes of the Pharisees, to have some consideration. But in reality, friend, they didn't care about John the Baptist. When they were trying to put Jesus versus John, they didn't really care about John. They just hated Jesus. And so they tried, whenever they heard that more were baptized under the ministry of Jesus than under the ministry of John, they tried to bring in division amongst them. Here was a man that they regarded that was just simply a carpenter's son. And yet he was baptizing more than John, the son of a priest of the temple. And then, of course, not only was he looked upon them as the son of a carpenter, but also he was from Nazareth. And, of course, they taught that no good thing, and certainly no prophet, ariseth in Galilee. And therefore, there was a double hatred of Christ. And they thought to bring in a rivalry and a jealousy. Now, John wasn't part of this. You remember what John said? He said, "I must decrease that he might
increase. Do you remember John acknowledged that there was one that came after him whose shoes that he was unworthy to unloose? Do you remember John cried out when he saw Jesus coming in the distance? He says, look, look, look away from me, and look, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But of course, the Pharisees, they tried to stir up the jealousy and tried to stir up some trouble against the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God it didn't stop the work of God. Because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Now it says here in verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew. And whilst it's true, the Pharisees contemptuously regarded him as a Nazarene and as a carpenter's son. Notice what the Bible, the Holy Ghost says, the Lord. Thank God he's Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. And the Lord knew. Now when it comes to verse 3, it says, because of this, it says, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Those are solemn words. These are solemn words, friend. He left. He left Judea. You remember the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever the disciples went into a city where they were not received? Remember what Jesus says, shake off the dust from off your feet as a testimony against them. And here was a people that rejected the Son of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he left. He left Judea. How grievous it is to reject Christ. How grievous it is, my friend, to turn Christ away. And the Lord Jesus Christ leaves them. He just leaves them in their sin. Now, going into Galilee, there were several ways that Christ could have journeyed. But if you look at the map, you find that the direct route that the Lord Jesus would go into Galilee, it would be straight through Samaria. Now, of course, for a strict Jew, that would never happen. Because they would, rather than go through Samaria, because of their prejudice, both in the Samaritan's heart and also the Jewish heart, there was a prejudice, the one against the other, and so therefore, that strict Jew would not go through. You see, the Samaritans were a mixed race. They were part Jew, and they were part Gentile. And the Jews had no dealings, that's what it tells us here in the scriptures, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But the Bible says that when Jesus left Judea and departed into Galilee, verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. It was a direct route. The strict Jew would not take it. You say, but preacher, tell me, why does it say he must needs go through Samaria? Because this is a divine must be. This is a divine must do. From all eternity, it had been ordered that he go through Samaria to seek and to save a soul that was lost. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, and he said, I am the good shepherd. And then he said this, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He said, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. And there was a woman in Samaria, and my friend, the Bible says Jesus must go through Samaria, because in the sovereign purpose of God, friend, that woman was to be reached. And all the machinery of grace was set in motion to reach this lost and perishing soul. Isn't it absolutely amazing how that God in grace moves and works to go after a soul? Even when others have given them up, even when others have said there's no hope, yet the Spirit of God works in a very special and in a very deliberate way. And here is the deliberate moving of the grace of God, my friend, for Jesus must needs go through. He had to go through. He must go through Samaria. John Newton said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He said, I once was lost, and now I'm found, and I was blind, but now I see. There was no chance in this. Some people said it was just by chance Jesus went through Samaria. No, he must needs go through it. And everywhere he went and everything he did, my friend, he did according to design. It was a divine necessity. A woman was there in great need. And Christ had ordained so to come and meet her need because Christ was interested in her soul. And I'm glad that God has ordained tonight that through the foolishness of preaching to meet your need. Young fellow, Christ is interested in your precious soul. Maybe others have disregarded you. Maybe others regard you as of no account. Maybe others look upon you as if you're not worthy to be sought after. And yet the Bible said that Jesus came to seek and he came to save that which was lost. And here tonight he must needs go through Macrothel. Why? For you. For you. He must needs go through Samaria. It is a divine must be in the sovereign design and sovereign purpose of God. Now let's look at the scene, friend. First of all, let's see the mysterious person here. Go to verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When you study the book of John's Gospel, you find that John, more than any other book in the Bible, makes it clear that Jesus was more than a man, that he was God. In the chapter 1 of John's Gospel, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And right away, in John's Gospel, you'll find that the emphasis is upon the deity of Christ. And the emphasis is upon that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, but he is God the Son, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And so we find that right from its opening part, right to the end, we find that Jesus is indeed God all very God. He declares the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet isn't it amazing in the mysterious person here of Christ. You will see that the emphasis of John turns from the deity of Christ to the humanity of Christ. Because in verse 6 it says, "Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." And there we see Jesus wearied with his journey. Surely this brings out the reality of Christ's humanity. He was truly and really God of very God, friend, but he was truly and really man of very man. He was the perfect man. He ate, he drank, he labored, he slept, he prayed, he wept. That's why it says in Hebrews, "We have not an high priest which is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all temps tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And here we see he was weary. Listen, weary not of well-doing, but weary in well-doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ, here we see his humanity expressed before us. And you know what's amazing? Because in verse 1 of chapter 4, again we have the deity of Christ. And in the verse 6, we certainly have the emphasis on the humanity of Christ. Because in verse 1 it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had baptized more disciples than John." He knew. He knew. There we see his deity. He knows what's in man. And friend, tonight he knows. He knows about you. But he not only knows about you, God knows you. He knows you absolutely through and through. Thou, God, knowest me. We see his humanity. He was wearied. We see his divine omniscience, that he was God. He knew what was in the hearts of these Pharisees. Yes, he is the God-man, Christ Jesus. That's a mysterious person. But notice, secondly, the meeting place. It says here in verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied of his journey, sat thus on the well. And that's the meeting place. It was by the well. I'm sure you've heard Dr. Paisley preach in the past, especially some of the older members of our congregation. And he often talks about the law of the first mention. The law of the first mention is this, that when you find a theme or you find a word and you want to know what it really means, then you go to the first time that is mentioned in the Scriptures, and the first mention of it in the Scriptures is the key that opens up the door to find out the depth of meaning and what it really is speaking about. The first mention of the well in the Scriptures, my friend, is in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7. And it tells us there, and in the verse 14, it tells us there, that the angel of God found the poor outcast in the wilderness by the well. And so the first mention of the well, it's concerning an outcast. An outcast in Genesis 16. If you link together verse 7 and verse 14, you'll find clearly it was a well. It was in the wilderness, and you find that the woman there was a poor outcast. Hagar was cast out. And of course, it was there at the well the angel of the Lord met her. And friend, let me tell you, when you come to this passage of God's Word and you read John chapter 4, you'll find the woman at the well was an outcast because of her sin. You see, the Bible says she came at the sixth hour, and we'll come to that in a moment. But she came there because she was an outcast. And friend, there we have the picture of the sinner, because the sinner is an outcast, cast out from God in their sin, with their back to God and their face to the world and on their way to hell. And where is the well? It's in the wilderness, where the outcast was in the first mention. And that's a fit symbol of the world, depicting the sad state of the heart before they meet Christ out there in the wilderness. Out there in their sadness, in their thirst, in their loneliness, in the wilderness of their sin. Jacob's well was at a place called Sychar. Sychar means purchased. And it's wonderful because Christ speaks to a woman here, and as he speaks to this poor lost outcast, this poor lost soul, he speaks to her about the gift of God. And the gift of God, friend, the gift cost us nothing. But the gift that God gives cost him everything, because we are purchased with a price. We are purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful thing about this meeting place was this. Before the woman ever came to the well, Jesus was already there. He was waiting on her. Friend, tonight let me tell you, Jesus is waiting to save you. Here you are in this gathering tonight amidst the people of God, where we have sung the songs of Zion, when we're hearing the Word of God expounded. And yet, friend, look into that soul, and it's God who knows your heart. He sees it's parched. He sees it's dry. He sees you're in the wilderness of your sin. He sees you as an outcast away from God. Away from God. And yet we find a Savior, as the Bible says, ready, waiting to pardon. And before this woman ever came to the meeting place, Jesus was already there. You know, whenever he came, what was she doing? She was still pursuing her path of sin. When Jesus stopped at that well, That woman still was pursuing her course of sin. Little did she know that day that Jesus would change all that. And she would become a new creature in Christ Jesus, the miracle of the grace of God. That's the meeting place, the mysterious person. But then, let us look again. Let's look at the marked period. Because it says here in verse 6, it was about the sixth hour. And then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. It was about the sixth hour. That means it was about midday. And under the oriental sun, at a time when a person would be exposed to the sun's rays. And there she stood, and she came, and she had a water pot in her head. And as she carried that water pot, she came parched and weary and thirsty and dry. Just like the soul. It was the sixth hour. Six is the number of man in the flesh. And so she was. She was walking in the flesh. Still in the midst of her sin. But let me tell you, friend, the timing was no accident. You know, when you go over the Word of God, it was no accident that the Midianites were passing whenever Joseph's brother thought to kill him. And God spared his life. It was no accident that Pharaoh's daughter went down to the waterside to bathe that day. When Moses lay in the basket. It was no accident that she heard the cry of the babe. And spared his life. It was no accident that at the very time that Mordecai and the Jews were in imminent danger of being killed, that God disturbed Ezra's sleep, the king's sleep, and he couldn't sleep, and therefore he occupied himself with the reading of the records in the court. And as he read in the records, he read how that Mordecai had befriended the king, and under God had led to the deliverance of the children of Israel. And here's a woman, she comes. And it's noonday. But there are no accidents with God, friend. He came to the right place. At the right time. For the right person. He's a sovereign God. That's the marked period. He came. You see, if he had come at any other time, she wouldn't have been there. And the reason why that she would not have been there, friend, was she came when nobody else would come. And the reason why she came when nobody else would come was this. She didn't want to meet the other woman. And the reason why she didn't want to meet the other woman was this. That many of them, she had destroyed their homes in her sin. She had wrecked her families in her sin. And she couldn't face them. And so when everyone else went for the siesta to get out of the oriental sun, she came out and she went to draw the water. Because she was so ashamed. You know, the amazing thing is this today, there's not much shame anymore because of sin. Man sins and he's so brass-necked and so brazen. They would sin and spit in your face. They seem so proud of their sin. This woman, she came when nobody else would be there. Because she had a certain shame. Because of her sin. But why did you come? Here's the meaningful purpose here. Why did you come? Now the Bible says this. In verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And friend, that's it. That was her purpose. When that woman left her home that day, she left that home with a water pot in her head, and the purpose of her leaving and the purpose of her coming to the well was simple. It was as simple as this, friend, to draw water. Now let me make it abundantly clear. She did not come to get saved. She hadn't thought of it. She did not come to meet Jesus, for she didn't know he was there. The Holy Ghost puts it correct. She came to draw water. And it was as simple as that. She had no thought of anything else other than coming for the water at a time when she couldn't be seen. And that day for her just started as normal as every other day had started in her sin. But when she came, there was one already there that would change her life, never to be the same again. And here we come then to the merciful proclamation. It says there come in verse 7, a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. Now in those days it was not proper for any man, especially a rabbi or teacher, to speak in public to a strange woman. It was not done. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, when this woman came to that water, he spoke to her that day and he said, give me to drink. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ speak? Let me tell you, friend. He was more interested in that woman's soul than he was about social customs. And sometimes we are more concerned about customs and about rituals than we are about reality and about salvation and the need of those that are without Jesus Christ. But it went even further. Among the Jews, it was considered as degrading. Absolutely degradation to hold a conversation with the Samaritans. But here was something that was never done. You never put yourself under obligation to them. You never asked a favor of them. And Jesus Christ put his pen through all the customs of that day. And Jesus Christ spake unto her. And the very first word he spake directed her thoughts to the grace of God that would meet her need. He said, give me to drink. Give me to drink. You see, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ opened the conversation with something that she would understand. Now, what we find is this in the rest of the story. Jesus takes her step by step until he brings her to the point where he reveals unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he, I'm Messiah. He revealed that he was the Christ. But he started the conversation with, give me to drink. Oh, the care and the tact of Christ in reaching a poor lost soul. Now here's the mystified protester. Go to verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You see, the request that Christ made, and the fact that he spoke unto her, but now asks her a favor, give me to drink. It absolutely amazes the woman. And yet isn't it amazing? She just says to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew? That's all she saw. She just saw a Jew. She didn't know that the one that spoke to her that day was the one that made the seas.
He sat there upon a well. She did not know that he who was sitting on the side of the well, my friend, was the one who was seated upon the throne.
That he was God. And here this woman, as she stood there that day, little did she know that the one who sat upon the well owned the throne. And owned the well as well, for all is his by sovereign right. But all she could see, the mystified protester, how is it? I can't understand that thou being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria. She didn't see who he was. Friend, tonight, the tragedy is this, that men and women are going through life and they don't know that Christ is the answer. They are thirsty, but they don't see that he's the water of life. They're hungry, but they don't see that he's the bread of life. They're in darkness. They don't see that he's the light of the world. They're in death, but they don't see that he is the resurrection and the life. That's why Isaiah the prophet said this: there is no beauty that they should desire him. And friend, let me tell you, left to yourself, young fella, you'll not see the beauty of Christ. And young woman, neither will you. That's why you need the illumination of the Spirit of God. That's why you need the revelation of God to your soul. Oh, that God would open your eyes. Oh, that you would see the Beloved. Oh, that you would come to know Him who is altogether lovely. And all she could see that day in her mind was the old prejudices. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You see a person go down the street, friend, tell me. Let me ask you a question. Dear child of God, be honest before God. When you see a person go down the street, do you just put them in their categories? Do you see them perhaps as by a religious tag or denomination? Or do you see lost humanity as they really are? Do you see them without Christ? Do you see that man without hope? Do you see that poor soul that's going out to a lost eternity? Does God touch your heart? Does God move your soul? When Jesus looked on the crowd, he didn't divide them up by prejudice. The Bible says when he looked upon them, he had compassion upon them. He was moved for them. Because there were lost humanity on the way to hell. And you know, as this woman speaks, yes, the mystified protester, how is it? I don't understand. And here we see the message presented, and that's from verse 10 to verse 14. We haven't time to go into all of this evening, but let me tell you this. How beautiful is the spirit in which Christ answers the poor outcast. She brings in her prejudice. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't enter into an argument over her prejudices of her Samaritan heart. Neither did the Lord Jesus Christ enter into the prejudice of the heartless treatment by the Jews of the Samaritans. Nor did he reproach her for her ignorance and not knowing these things. But notice the patience of Christ. Notice the tenderness of Christ. And notice the love of Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Let me tell you this. When the young people go down the street on Saturday night, sometimes it's hard.
And you'll always meet the smart aleck, and you'll always meet the person that will
read their mouth at you and present their prejudice against you. Let me tell you, young person, when you're answering, may God give you the patience, and may God give you a tender heart, for that person is far from God. May God give you a heart of love that will not answer evil for evil, but will render good for evil. And you see, as this woman goes on, and the Lord Jesus said to her, he said, you know, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. You see, this is dark. He speaks about living water. All she can think about is the earthly water. Because, you see, her mind's darkened. And friends, some people say to me, why is it that men and women can, they seem to be that they're so careless and they're so heedless, and they can walk away from gospel meetings and they're unmoved and untouched. It's because their minds are darkened. The God of the world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine in. You see, this woman thought that somehow she had to do the giving. And yet all the time he was waiting, ready to give. He said, I would give unto thee living water. And the Lord Jesus Christ has to bring this woman to the place where she is shown her poverty, her unworthiness, her nothingness, her lostness, her danger, her helplessness. One by one he strips aside the old rags of her religion, until the moment she comes with empty hand, not giving, but receiving. He said, thou wouldst have asked of me, and I would have given unto thee. See, that's the way we're saved, friend. Ask, and ye shall receive. It's asking Christ. You can't give anything to Christ to merit your salvation. It's asking because that you have nothing to offer and nothing to give, and of yourselves are absolutely nothing. And you reach out the hand of faith, and you receive by faith what Christ freely offers, the living water, the eternal life. And then we see the mournful plea in verse 15. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Listen, she's interested. And she acknowledges she's thirsty. But she still can't see it, can she? She says, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I don't need to bother to come back again. She really can't see it. But although she's there in the darkness, the Spirit of God starts to work. And the Lord has brought her to see her need. That she's thirsty. And that she needs help. And then the Lord takes her another step. Because he's got to show her sin. That's why she's thirsty. And so what does the Lord do? He says, listen. He said, call thy husband. Ho-ho. She draws her breath. And she says, I have no husband.
Yes, says Jesus, you've answered right. You have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the one that you're living with now is not your husband. And what the Lord Jesus does for him is this. He has brought her tenderly along the road. He has been opening her understanding until she sees that she's a hungry and thirsty soul. But he now needs to, having overcome the prejudice, now he needs to convict her of her sin. And Jesus says, he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. He shows her her sin. And friend, that's what you need tonight. And this woman's mind, now listen, you notice how our understanding begins to be illuminated, because the next verse says, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Something different about you. I perceive you're a prophet. You see, her understanding is beginning now to be illuminated. But notice what she does. When the Lord Jesus Christ homes in on her sin, and when he starts to talk about her sin, and he whom thou hast is not thine husband, she becomes uncomfortable. Because Christ is looking into her heart. He's not only looking into her eyes, he's looking into her soul. And he says, woman, that's your sin. That's why you're thirsty. Notice how she now tries to divert the conversation. Our fathers worship, verse 20, in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place which men ought to worship. You see, she tries to divert the conversation because the painful hour of conviction has got right into her soul, and she doesn't want to face her sin. She wants to talk about something else. And you see, there was a controversy between the Jews and the Samaritans of where to worship. Mount Gerizim or at Jerusalem. And so she wants the controversy, not about her sin, not about her soul. She wants to draw away the conversation into an argument. And you know, young people, and you know, person, Christian worker, that when you go onto the door and talk to somebody about their sin, they want to talk about some controversy. Why? Because they want to get you off the subject of their sin. And she tried to divert the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, friend, listen, she had a place where she tried to shelter herself from the storm of facing her sin. And the Lord Jesus said to her, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that when Messiah comes, which is called Christ, when he's come, he'll tell us all things. In other words, she says, really, I want Christ. He's the one that'll tell us. He's the one that'll reveal us. And I believe she came to that point where she said, I want Christ. He'll reveal all things. And Jesus looked into her eyes and he said to her, he said, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the one you're looking for. I'm the one you need. I'm the one that's the answer to your soul. I'm he. Let me tell you, friend. You may search wherever you want and ever you desire, but you'll never find peace until you find Christ. And I'm glad if there's a seeking soul tonight. Thank God, Jesus the Christ came to seek and to save. And this woman found that while she came in her sin, Christ was already at the well, and he revealed himself unto her. I am Jehovah God, the one she needed. And lastly, the marvelous publication. You know, she acknowledged her thirst. Give me. She confessed her sin. I have no husband. She avows her faith. Because in verse 20 it says, the woman left her water pot. She went her way into the city. Saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She left her water pot, for she had found the fountain of life. Will you leave your water pot tonight, drinking at the wells of the world? I thirsted in this barren land of sin and shame. Nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Oh sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Saviour now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. O Lamb of God, I come. May God give you a place to do so. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless thy word. Write thy word with power in every heart, and Father, may not one person leave in their sin tonight. And just as thou didst reveal that thou knewest all about this woman, so thou knowest all about this people individually, personally, in this congregation. Thou knowest the sins that this woman had been involved in ere she came to the well that day. And thou knowest the sins that souls have been guilty of this week, the sins that they've been involved in, the places, the things that they have seen and done, polluted by their sin. O God, by thy Spirit, show them the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all such sin. Speak on to every heart in this gathering. Give them grace to come to Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.